introduce a good friend of mine, John Adams, who's going to speak. And I first heard him mentioned in Rob's talk that he shared with you yesterday. And so I know that John is very passionate about reaching out to people, whether it's teenagers, young adults. He's been very active in our young adult ministry here at the Church of Intern. He's done some awesome things with the members of our congregation and definitely bringing in new people. So, but most importantly, I know that John loves the Lord. And so what he has prepared, I know that it's going to encourage you, so I hope you get a lot out of it. And I want to introduce John.
I don't know where to stand. I'll just stand down here. I like it better down here. Thanks, Shane. I really appreciate it. I'm so proud of Rob. That's my brother right there. I love that man. I can't even begin to tell you guys how happy I am to be here with you guys this weekend and how much this has lifted me spiritually to see you here, to see you participate, and to listen to the voice of truth throughout this weekend. And you know, when Vern called me and asked me to speak, a question came into my mind, a question that was posed by a man nearly 2,000 years ago by the name of Pontius Pilate. That question is written up here on the board: what is truth? And it's a question that men have pondered probably since the beginning of time. Philosophers have philosophized. The theologians have theologianized. The scientists have studied, looked at, and considered this question. And we, as a generation, are very fortunate because of the wisdom that our generation has found that truth, they have the answer for truth now. Do you realize that? There is an answer for truth, and the answer for truth is that it's relative. You can believe whatever you want. My truth is my truth, and your truth is your truth. And if they don't add up together, if they don't make sense, well, that's okay, because what's true for me is true for me, and what's true for you is true for you, and that's absolutely okay. That's just the way things are in our society today. So, you know, as far as religion goes, well, that's, you know, just pick what you want. If Christianity doesn't work for you, well, that's okay. Just go experience some Buddhism. And if Buddhism doesn't suit you, well, there's Hinduism or Islam or Wicca or whatever you want. Pick and choose. And if none of those suit you, if that's not your cup of tea, well, just pick whatever you want. You just take what you want and put it together. And you see, if people would have only understood this thought process years ago, we wouldn't have had all these religious wars. We'd all just got along, and we'd have been peaceful, sitting around campfires, singing Kumbaya. Life would have been good. That's what the world would have you believe. They'd have you believe that this thought process is brand new, something nobody's ever thought of before. But the thing is, it's not. When we look at Acts chapter 17, verses 16 through 23, it says, "While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, 'What is this babbler trying to say?' Others remarked, 'He seems to be advocating foreign gods.' They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, 'May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean.' All the Athenians and foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up at the meeting of the Areopagus. 'Men of Athens, I see that you are in every way very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, "To an unknown God." Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. Isn't that funny? That sounds like the very thing that we're being told today. And you know, I don't blame them. When you think about it, it's a pretty cool idea, isn't it? It's a pretty cool idea to think you can pick and choose whatever you want. So this God over here gives me what I want. You know, for Christianity, I like the love aspect of it. You know, I want to be loved. I want to love people. So I like that aspect of it. And, you know, I'm a nature guy. I like to go hiking. Me and my wife like to go out and get in nature. So since I like nature, maybe I can go ahead and take some of the Wicca and worship nature. And, you know, I think it looks pretty cool when I see people who are of the Islam faith, you know, with their prayer rug out. And, you know, people can pay attention to me and see me as I'm showing how much I want to worship God. And the thing is I start shaping and molding this God. And I take what I like and I throw away what I don't like. So, you know, this one God over here says I can do this. I go, okay, that's good. That's what I want to do. So that's what I'm going to do. And, but wait. He says, I can't do that. But this God over here says, I can. So I'm going to take that aspect from this God. And that's what the Athenians were doing, is they were taking and whatever they wanted, and they display all of these idols and put them up, and you come in and you talk about your God, and you pick this one, and you pick that one, and you pick this one, and you choose and you mold. And it sounds so wonderful because you get this independence. You get this ability to just take whatever you like, whatever you want, and put it together. And so you take and you pull and you put things together. And I'm looking, and God's a pretty cool guy because, you know, God accepts everything that I do as okay. He doesn't really have any flaws with me, so I don't have to feel guilty about anything. Everything's okay. But you know, the more I think about it, this God is me. Because he has all my character flaws. He's got all of the good things about me, all of the bad things about me. I can be whoever I want to be. But you see, there's more to the story. If it were that simple, there wouldn't even really be any point to being here because I can just worship God however I want, right? Well, let's see what Paul has to say in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 35. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if needing anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times and set for them the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far off from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, and others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." At that, Paul left the council. See, Paul makes a pretty clear point here. There's a real God. There is a real, true, and living God. And in that, points out some serious flaws with the idea that we can just pick and choose whatever God we want. The first is that God does not need us to do anything for him. You see, when we get in this idea that everything's okay, that pluralism is okay, we kind of turn God into this God that needs us to worship him. You know, I almost picture it like a dog. You know, the dog absolutely needs your attention. So if you're willing to reach down and pat him a little bit, oh, he just gets excited, right? Get that tail wagging, and he just gets so excited. Can you imagine just picturing God, and you're, he's up there, and he's going, oh, I just need you to worship me, worship me, worship me. Please, just worship me. Oh, I'm so excited. And you are standing there going, well, okay, God. All right, if you want me to worship you, I will worship you. But like I said, I like nature. So I'm going to worship nature. But you go ahead and accept that as if that's okay. Okay, okay, do you see that? Do you see them? They're worshiping me. They don't call me by my name, but it's okay because they're worshiping me and so excited. But I want you to think about this. Here we have a God who sent his son to die on the cross, who rose from the dead, the only man to rise from the dead without somebody bringing that process along. And you go back further, and God set prophets along the way to point the way all the way up to John the Baptist, who stood there and goes, here he is. This is the Messiah. This is the one. And even further, God allowed the Roman Empire to be in control of the world. And the Roman Empire, controlling the whole known world, built a road system that the world had never seen before. And it was on that road system and with that freedom of movement that Christianity was able to spread so quickly. Now you think about that. God has laid this beautiful path out in front of us, put this wonderful God in front of us who loves us and cares about us, and somehow he's supposed to look and go, well, you know, if you choose this other way, that's okay too. Doesn't that sound ridiculous that he's done so much to point us in the right direction to think that we can just go whichever way we want to? The second thing is that God formed us. We do not form him. You know, there at the end, Paul was talking about God's not made of silver or gold or formed out of stone. And while we see those things still today, don't we? We see all these temples filled with gold. We see golden Buddhas. We see all sorts of these things. The most dangerous thing that we do is we spiritually carve God into our image. Now, I want us to stop for a second. Just pause and put ourselves in God's shoes. Can you imagine what it would feel like to have someone who claims to be your friend turn around and say things about you that you don't even believe? Now, where's Mike at? Mike Allstott. Where are you hiding at? Mikey, my buddy. Everybody, let's get a look. Stand up, Mikey. Now, don't act like I didn't warn you. You know, okay? Now, Mike, I'm going to tell you a little something about Mike. Me and Mike are friends, you know, not best friends, but we've gone bowling a few times, you know, done some Bible studies together, you know. We know each other, like to talk sports, and I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. Mike is a huge UCLA Bruins fan, aren't you, Mike? No. Yes, you are. You were just telling me the other day about how excited you were that Oregon State destroyed USC. You don't remember that? No, but it's true. You're pretty much a USC fan? How does it feel for me to tell all these people that your arch rival is your team? Kind of a bummer, right? I'm supposed to be your friend, and here I am. These people think, you know, you're going to have the Bruins fans all running over to congratulate you. You're going to have the USC guys ready to beat you up, you know. And your loyalties are in a completely different place. Can you imagine? Now, that's simple, right? That's not a very big deal. But think about, okay, if you're trying to live your life in the right way, okay, you've done what was right, you've listened to your parents, you've lived in a way to try to be the kind of person that you know is right. And then somebody who's your friend goes around and going, yeah, well, what you don't know about this guy is that he's over in the next town partying. This guy's over in the next town and, you know, just not the guy you think he is. Let's look at the political campaigns. You've heard the smears about the guys that are running for presidency. Things, some of them may be true, some of them may not. But can you imagine what it feels like to have people lie about you? And yet when we start forming God in our image, when we start saying, well, whatever, you know, whatever is okay, you know, all mountains point to the same sky. We start forming God and making opinions for God. Could you imagine how you feel? Think about how God must feel when we do these things. As Paul was bringing this message, there was two things that he really wanted these people to know about God. Two things that were vitally important that he felt like they needed to know. Understanding that they couldn't keep up the same path that they were on because we don't need, or God doesn't need us to do anything for him because he's done everything for us, and that he's not made in our image. There were two things that were important. And the first is that God does want a relationship with us. God does crave for us to want him as much as he wants us. But the thing is that God wants us to come in his way, according to his will. But as Paul put it here, we all came from one man. God put everyone in the exact place that he wanted them. Set up nations so that they could seek and find him. He placed everyone in a place so that they were right there, right at the tip of finding him, and if they just would reach out, that they could find him. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, and it says, God has written eternity on the hearts of men. God has written eternity on the hearts of men. Do you ever stop and think that there's something bigger than you out there? That this world is just too big, too amazing, too great to possibly just have happened? You know, the truth is, as Solomon said, God's done that for everybody. Now, some people are going to ignore that. You know, we have people who claim to be atheists. I don't believe in God. You know, one of the biggest one was a guy named Sigmund Freud. If you've taken any psychology classes, you've heard his name. The funny thing about Sigmund Freud is that Sigmund Freud hated a God that didn't exist to him. Doesn't that seem strange? Think about that. He hated a God that does not exist. How can you hate something that's not real? Okay? The truth is, God has written eternity on every man's heart. And here's the thing that I want you guys to really get. God has put you as an individual in the places where you are. He's placed you so that if you're willing to look, if you're willing to seek him, he's right there. His hand is reaching for you. He wants you to be in a relationship with you, and he's provided every aspect. Whether you believe it or not, God puts you here this weekend. Whether you chose to be here, whether your parents forced you to be here, whatever the reason, whether it was just a friend asking you to come, God placed you here for a reason. And I hope that as you think about the realities of this world, that you realize that there is one true and living God who loves you and cares for you and wants to have a relationship with you. The second thing that Paul really wanted them to understand is that there are consequences to refusing a relationship with God. Because as we said, God's hand's reaching down to you. If you choose not to reach back up, there's consequences for that. Paul said, the times of ignorance God once overlooked, but now he calls all men to repentance. You have a choice. The choices are real and the choices are yours. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. This question, what is truth? You have to decide that for yourself. Jesus said he is truth. Jesus said that he is truth. And if he is truth, then we need to listen to his voice. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who believes not will be condemned. Two choices. I wish it wasn't that way. It's part of the time that it would be nice to have that pluralistic ability to just go, well, I like the love thing, but I don't want to deal with the consequences. But the truth is, there is a real God. He's made himself known, and he's told you that you have two choices. You either love him and come into a relationship with him, which, let me tell you, is one of the most amazing and fulfilling experiences to have God in your life and to walk with God in your life. I've tried it both ways. And I'm telling you, having God in your life is the best thing that you can have, the best experience you can have. As I close here, I'm going to leave you with some words of a great leader of Israel named Joshua. As Joshua was finishing up his duties as the leader of Israel and had entered the promised land, he brought all of the Israelites together and he said to them, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I hope that you guys are willing to make that decision. I hope you are willing to take your lives and serve the Lord, because there's nothing better that you can do in your life. There's nothing more fulfilling than having a relationship with a God who loves you and a God that is willing to do anything and everything for you. And as Rob said, he's willing to reach to the deepest depths. He would reach down into the hell of your life, no matter where you're at, and pull you out if you are willing to grab his hand. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you now. We just want you to know that we love you and that we appreciate the sacrifice of your Son, and knowing that you are truly God, that you are the one who came to earth through your Son, died on the cross and rose again, and that your voice is the only voice of truth. And Lord, I pray that you will touch all of our hearts, soften them and mold them so that we look to you for your will. And I just pray that you will teach us to be ever loving, ever kind, never merciful to each other and to others. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for sending your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.